Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Ask me. Ask Eliza anything. It's time to ask. Ask me all your questions. Leave them in the Instagram comment section. Leave them on your Twitter.
I'm just going to be transparent with everyone. This is an evergreen episode. This was recorded pre-birth to give me a break. I'm sure I'm feeling fine, but on the off chance that I'm not, it's nice to have a little break. So this is going to just be jam-packed with hot takes that you can follow up on, give us updates with which you will give us updates up with which you will give us update. No, after. But this is us making sure that we have the content that you need. And while our banter is supreme, I think we can still do banter, but we're here for the, there's no like current hot takes, like social media hot takes, society hot takes, because we're positive the hostages are still hostages. Aside from that, I got nothing else. So this is just an evergreen episode.
They would have just listened and been fine without this. Without this disclaimer.
It's part of being a woman. I'm like, okay, I'm fine. But first, let me just explain my existence. So here's the evergreen episode. Should we cut it and start over?
No, this is fine. They should see the process, which is that either it's too much information or it's not enough, both from us and from the listeners.
I didn't want to just start the episode like it's a nebulous time in life. We don't know what day it is. Let's get it going.
You know that we, number one, I am... I'm 99% sure, almost 100% sure we have never once missed a week. Like never just not had something for a week. I don't know. We've done like a rerun or skipped a week on purpose less than five times. I would be surprised if we even did it once or twice. And we are about to be at episode like 300. We're creeping up on it. We're in like the high twos. We're at like 280 or something.
Yeah. This is not where the bulk of my fame or income comes from. But I still take it seriously that people give the most valuable resource they have, which is time to listen. So I'm not going to give you like, and here's a best of on the morning, bleh, and here's a guest host. Like we give you the product we said we would give you.
Also, best of episodes take a lot of time. I would rather sit and record an hour than figure that out.
We don't have those resources, but everybody remembers the bummer it was when you're watching like your favorite sitcom. And they would just be like, hey guys, remember that time? And everything's a flashback to an old cut. You're like, cool.
How were they allowed to do that on a TV show? That's crazy. I remember specifically, I feel like maybe it was the finale of King and Queens. And they used this song that was by like Milk and Honey. I had it on my iPad and it was really slow. And it was just clips. And I was like, no, I could watch these episodes separately. I don't need this. Why is this happening?
Also, you called it King and Queens.
Did I call it King and Queens? Is that like a mom moment?
Yeah. You know, King of the Queens.
Yeah. You know, like Sex and the City or Sex in the City. Is it King of the Queens? King in the Queens? He's in.
I definitely called it Sex in the City, which it could be. Yeah. Well, right now it should just be called a bad comedy concert. Also, that girl got canceled. Let's get into it.
Hello, Eliza, Emily, Hot Scotty, and the assortment of fur babies and non-fur babies gathered here today. We all know how marvelous this podcast is, so I'll get right into it. I, 28, female, have been with my boyfriend, 30, male, for about 6.5 years now. We're really good together and have discussed where we stand on future aspects of our lives, like kids, possibly moving interstate in a few years, being in no rush to get married, but definitely see ourselves spending the rest of our lives together. We're pretty much on the same page about everything, except one dog-sized thing. He is pretty, God, I haven't said this word in a long time, vehemently?
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay.
Great job, Emily.
He is pretty vehemently against getting a dog, which is a stance he has changed over the last 12 months or so. When we first met, he was very much a dog person. He loved living with a dog who belonged to a previous housemate. This was a few years ago and has had family dogs in the past. I think a factor into his change of mind is that we went traveling through some countries last year that have very large stray dog populations. And while nothing horrible happened, we did see some very dirty and crazy dogs. Another thing he has said about his change of heart is that all dogs are smelly, dirty, and always, quote, hanging around, which he finds annoying, and can require a lot of effort to train. Little bit of context about me, I am such a dog person. I love them. I stopped to pat ones on the street. I had family dogs. I even learned to be a dog groomer a few years ago because I needed a doggo fix in my daily life, but without the responsibility of owning one. But I since moved on from that work to banking, LOL. And since I was about 20, I've been really looking forward to the day in my life when I'll feel ready to take on the responsibility of a dog, which, to be fair, is still at least 12 months away as I have one more year of university. But now, with his change of heart, we've been having arguments over this issue whenever it comes up. I feel like he's not understanding me as a person. And I've said I would take on the full burden of training, walking, and feeding, and he would essentially have a dog that's like the old housemate's dog for him that he only needed to help out with if he wanted to. But my boyfriend even said during an argument that I'm, quote, choosing him or a dog because I'll be single before I get a dog.
Yep.
It's a total 180 for him, and I don't know how to come to a compromise. Anyway, I'm really not sure how to proceed in making this a productive conversation. It's even making me question our future together and would love your advice. Thank you for being the amalgamation of Big Sister. Oh, yeah, us. We're Big Sister.
We are Big Sister.
Big love from one of your Melbourne girlies. So many words.
So it's reading. I was going, this is a very harsh take. And I was going to say this before you said, I can see Emily. She's like, wow, whale mouth. It's just because your mouth is open. Like when an orca is like you're feeding it like a fish for doing something good and you're black and white, like, ah, before your boyfriend gave you the ultimatum of a dog or me, he doesn't want to be in this relationship. And he is trying to give you, he's trying to test your boundaries. That is a deeply shitty thing to say. And I can appreciate as Aussies, you went backpacking in probably like Bali or, you know, some of these places that you guys go to and there's stray dogs, you know, Thailand, wherever. You went to some of these places and you saw something rough. One has nothing to do with the other. I mean, for that matter, like why get married when there are people all over the world being raped and abused and hurt? It doesn't add up unless he saw something so fucked up that he's like, I don't want a dog to die. It feels really immature and it feels like he's trying to... You're making this, it's a very natural thing for couples to get a pet together. It also is how you come together as a couple. It's weird to give you that ultimatum. My bigger issue is that ultimatum.
I wonder what I thought you were going to say, your harsh take is I wonder if he never liked dogs and that was a lie to get you deeper into the relationship with him. And he put up with it because he didn't want to look psycho. And now you're like committed to him so he can be like, oh, I hate dogs. There are options. There are like, I mean, you could see if he would agree to foster a dog for a little bit that would go back, like if there's a time limit on it. But I am so disgusted that he saw all those dogs that are crazy and smelly and whatever. When I see stray animals, my thought is, I wish I could help them. I wish I could save them. I wish so that they could be feel better. And his thought is, ugh. Gross, well, that gross dog.
The only way out of this is, did your husband grow up in a culture that doesn't like dogs? For example, our nanny is from Jamaica. It's not that the culture doesn't like dogs, but where she grew up and when she grew up, dogs were these dirty things that are just like in your village, fucking with your garbage, and they're there for protection. You know, depending on your economic situation, like dogs are not seen as cute little things. They are things that protect your house and your assets and are not friendly and do bite. And that just really depends on economically where you're from and what part of the world you're from. So, but if your husband is just like a regular Australian person, regular, if he's just like a normal dude and it seemed like he liked him and it's fine. I don't know where that 180 came from unless he's not sharing something, but he being unwilling to discuss it, especially when you're not allergic, I just don't like it. I just don't like this. Like I'll put my foot down. No, I'm done. Like, okay, well, here's my dingo.
Well, and I do understand, look, when you're saying to him, I'll do everything. I mean, yes and no. Like, of course, he's going to get burdened with some of it because he lives there and he's just going to, well, he's never going to let the dog out. He's never going to feed it. He's going to be like, no, you go do it. You said this was yours. That would also be crazy. I wonder if he's now like anti-animal, like no cat, no hamster, no nothing. What? It's so strange.
Does he work from home and you don't?
Mm.
Is he going to have to be with it? You know, it's insane if he thinks that's all dogs. Like, yeah, some dogs are big and dirty and crazy. Some dogs are really quiet. Something's weird. But what this boils down to is you saying, like, I really need this part of my life. This is a very human thing to want a dog. And you're threatening to break up with me. You don't see a future with me. A man who loves a woman and wants to be with her does not ever, no one, a woman too, you don't threaten that the person that you love is going to be single if they do something. It's not like you're getting into meth or cheating on him. That is an out of bounds reaction and you got to nip that in the bud, because I'm not saying people who don't like animals don't want kids, but like this feels like you want a baby and I don't. If you want one, go find another bloke. Kill me.
This is a big piece of like compatibility for you specifically. Yep. This was a big deal. You had thought you were on the same page and you're not. I mean, look at Joe Manganiello and that little dog. Sofia Vergara adopted a dog when they were together, a teeny chihuahua. It immediately fell in love with Joe. It hated her. They got divorced. He now has that little dog and all he does is post photos all day of him and that little dog. He loves
She's
that tiny
She's not still with him?
Dog. No, they broke up. I'm so sorry. And the rumor-
No, they broke up. They broke up because she's successful and he's not.
The rumor on the street was they broke up because he loved this dog so much and it hated her.
No.
Which
no,
is that's absurd. But I'm just saying, like, people can change. I just can't. If this means so much to you, I just don't understand
they're both so
good-looking. The problem.
It's about the way that he is talking to you about it. He's never sat you down and been like, I just had a really bad experience and I can't. He's not, you know, he's being an Aussie man. He's not like sharing his feelings. He's just like threatening you. That's it. We've said our part. I listen to this podcast and sometimes I repeat myself. So I'm just saying I've said what
too.
I've said.
Well,
this is a red flag.
I do actually have one more piece, which is my
red
best
flag.
Friend. He doesn't like animals and he's like a great guy. He's so nice to them when he's around them, but he doesn't, he's clean. He's like, his house is really nice. Like he has taste, but, we could never live together. We couldn't be roommates because I'm like, I have cats and I know that about him and I accept that about him because we're not getting married and he didn't pretend that he loves cats and then go, ha-ha, tricked you. It's just
By
weird.
The way, some people are not animal people, but that is not what is being said here.
Right, right. I just want to make that clear because you and I are both so much on the same page that it's like, I don't want it to sound like we're just crazy animal people and everyone has to let animals sleep in their bed with them and lick them in their mouths. No.
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 But you will once it gets there. You say to him, how dare you fucking speak to me like that and threaten me? I will get a dog. And good luck finding a girlfriend as awesome as me. Click, because you called him on a landline rotary phone.
Kick it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It used to be you just go to a party, have a bunch of fun, come home, not think about it. Not me, not lately. I don't know. I feel like I'm annoyed by everything. I feel like little things kind of set me off. It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread ourselves so thin. Especially with all the directions that our minds are pulled, right? There's the news, there's social issues, there's your family, there's your friends, and then there's just the constant blathering chatter of the internet. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? And how do you spend your energy wisely? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more time alone, but kind of with other people. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. This is actually designed to be convenient. It's flexible and it's suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time. No additional charge. No hassle. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Eliza today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Eliza. Here's the truth. You probably eat bread a lot less than you used to or not at all because of carb fear mongering. The carb fear is real. Carb-heavy foods are often the ones that we love the most, right? When you think of comforting foods, when you think of things you really want to dig your teeth into. Hero Bread makes the bread that you love, your same delicious favorites, free of consequences or compromise. At Hero, they've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. And Hero Bread doesn't just make bread. They have something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops. I love this part because they have indulgent favorites like 2 gram net carb Hero croissants or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code Eliza at checkout. That's Eliza at hero.co. Are you skeptical about custom beauty? I am. My social media is nonstop flooded with not only beauty products, beauty influencers, it's just tons of stuff, tons of lies, all promising to fix my hair, my skin, my life. But when pros says custom, they actually mean it. It's not a gimmick. Your formula could not exist without you. Because every bottle of Pros custom hair and skincare is made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors and they get personal, which I appreciate. Because to understand how someone lives, you have to know where they live. What's the UV index in your area? What's the water hardness? Is it cold? Is it dry air? You know, I live in LA. The weather is crazy. Next, they analyze all of that information and how it relates to you, and then Pros recommends a full routine of truly personalized products, which are only produced after your order is placed. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/askeliza. That's PROSE.com/askeliza for your free consultation and 50% off one-of-a-kind formulas. Pros.com/askeliza.
Hi, squad. I love you guys and genuinely appreciate all your real advice. Here is my situation. My 27 female, husband's 27 male, grandfather, mother-in-law's father. Do you mean to go through that again? Lady, 27 female, husband, 27 male, his grandfather, which is our question asker's mother-in-law's father. So her husband's mother's father, grandfather. Uh-huh. Lives 6 hours by car from us. My mother-in-law goes down every month or so to visit.
No, not mother-in-law's grandfather. That's great-grandfather.
No, my mother-in-law's father.
You said grandfather. No. Roll the tape.
No, I said my 27 female husband's 27 male grandfather, mother-in-law's father.
You did something wrong. in the past. Okay, so your husband-in-law's grandfather.
Not your husband-in-law's. Your husband.
Yeah, your husband-in-law. Your husband's grandfather on his mother's side.
That's it. Those are the words. Yes. Mother-in-law was planning a trip in June to go see him, and I said I would see if we could make it work to go visit him for the weekend. We packed up our, at the time, six-month-old son and drove down to visit for Thanksgiving, and it was horrible. The baby actually was really good on the drive, but when we got there, his grandpa was horrible. He barely acknowledged our son, just complained about how horrible his life is. It is horrible, but it's by his own doing. He's married to a horrible woman and has some health problems he won't do anything about, and only spent about a total of 2 or 3 hours with us over the 5 days we were there. I was hoping that if we go and visit him without the pressure of the holiday, it may be better, but my mother-in-law came back from a trip to see him a few weeks ago and ranted for hours about how horrible her dad was the whole trip. Yes, the family has a ranting problem. All he did was complain about her half-brother's car crash, fifth one in 3 years. He is fine, just stupid. And about how horrible his life is. I do want to say I'm not exaggerating that this is all he talks about. We've tried many times to reroute the conversation. It doesn't work. We've even told him flat out to stop, and he does not care and continues to rant. If we were to visit in June, we would be packing up our year-old son and either driving 6 hours or flying and have to stay at a hotel. There's no option to stay with grandpa since they don't have room and his wife won't let us. We would leave Friday and come back Sunday. I did the math, and if we fly, it's going to cost about $1,200 with flights, hotel, and food. If we drive, it's about $900. I don't think it's worth it to go, not only money-wise, but his grandpa is so miserable, he won't be able to put it aside and have a nice visit. My husband agrees with me and doesn't think it's worth it either. My mother-in-law definitely has a problem with it. I told her I don't know if we'll be able to swing it, and she got very hostile. I was honest with her and said it's a lot of money for 48 hours and grandpa is very difficult to be with, and adding a one-year-old to the situation makes it even worse. She said, well, I have airline miles, completely ignoring the fact that grandpa makes us all uncomfortable. I know Eliza usually says they will be dead soon, so go, but at what point do you have to put your financial and mental well-being first? What do we do? Thank you so much for all the wisdom. Okay, Eliza, I'm wondering if you're going to have the same first complaint that I do.
What's yours? And I'll lie and say it was mine too.
Why is this woman doing all this mental and emotional labor for her husband's grandpa? Yep.
I would have arrived at that if I talked long enough. But tangentially related, my thought was then your husband should go accompany his mother.
Yes.
Grandpa doesn't care about the kid. He might in some weird way, but this is not about your husband or you. This is about supporting the mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. This is about her wanting some support. And the guy might be miserable because he's unhealthy and he's living with a miserable woman, but he's old.
And his idiot son keeps crashing his cars.
And this is people complain about this stuff, you know? So it's not, you would not be doing it for him. You'd be doing it to support a woman whose dad is like kind of on the decline. This is about being there for his mom. So you say, I'm going to stay here with the baby. Travel is hard on a little baby, although children are resilient. There's no reason for the baby to go. The grandfather doesn't seem to care if he sees the kid. Maybe he does deep down, whatever. But it's hard on you. So husband has to organize all of that. You have gotten in between. Now you're in between. Now you're the reason that her son won't go with her to see their miserable grandfather. Husband's the man of the house, so he can either go without you or he can arrange everything. And even then, you don't want to go. You're not going.
Yeah. Yeah, although I like, sorry. You're like, oh, we have to stay at a hotel because we can't stay with grandpa. You wouldn't want to stay with grandpa anyway. You know?
It doesn't sound like a fun hang. It doesn't sound like there's anything redeeming. You know, it's like you want to be like family isn't always comfortable, but it isn't as if you have a history with him where it was always great and grandpa's just kind of not doing well. Like, you barely know the guy and he's awful. So leave it up to your husband. He can arrange everything.
You don't need to go, but I would say, I mean, you've said you've tried to reroute the conversation. Can you bring activities in terms of like, bring a puzzle, bring a movie that old men like, bring like something for you guys to do with your hands and your eyeballs so you're not just sitting there and he's not just ranting.
By the way, you can get your mother there, leave the mom with grandpa and you guys can go see a movie. You can go to a park, like you can do other stuff. You can just see him at dinner, you know?
Well, so that's the other thing. They say they were there like 5 days. They saw him for only a few hours. What's happening the rest of the time? Is he in his room hiding? Like, yeah. What's going on?
And also, it's tough. It's like that joke about like two old Jews complaining, like the food is so bad here. Yeah, in such small portions. You're like, this guy's the worst. Also, we didn't see him enough.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, but you're just counting everything against him, which is fair. But right. Dump this in your husband's lap immediately.
Hi, AIE crew. I love you guys so much. My favorite pod to listen to every Wednesday. You both make me giggle and have helped me in so many ways in life just listening to advice. Eliza, congratulations on the new baby boy. Emily, from a cat mom, I love hearing your stories. I like that those are equivalent. Eliza, you're bringing life in this world. Emily, keep on keeping on with those cats.
It's what you got, and it's important to you, and that's okay.
I have a question. How do I tell my parents I'm married? My husband is a trans man, and we have been dating for 5 years. My parents know we're engaged, but we told them we didn't know if we were actually going to get married. We ended up getting married, just him and I and my son, 2 years ago. They have no problem with him being trans and accept and support him for who he is and love him so much. We call each other husband and wife in front of him, and my mom says son-in-law to people. I've been divorced and they paid for it. He has also been divorced and his parents helped him through that. I think they might have an idea, but I want to tell them because I feel like the longer I wait, the more sad and mad they might get. We've kept this secret and they weren't there. What do you think is the best way to tell them or ideas on how to tell them? Thank you. Why didn't you tell them?
Yeah. Here you are, married to a trans man, seemingly with the support that like any normal person would want. Why'd you do that?
This is a time where I'm going to see your catchphrase, Eliza. There's something going on here. There's something more. Why?
I think they're going to be hurt that you're kind of treating them like they don't support it. Couples go and elope all the time because they don't want to deal with it. But to not tell your parents, you know, that's a very like young person thing to do. Like we're 21 and you know, there's always the like, we secretly got married at a civil ceremony and now we're having the thing. But to leave out your parents who facilitated both of your divorces, his parents too. I don't know where you're coming from.
I'm wondering, the only thing I can think is, so she says that they were married 2 years ago. Just her husband and herself got married. So let's say it was like just a civil, they just went and got the paperwork. And that's why, because our question asker seems to think like, I think my parents kind of know, like my mom calls him son-in-law. So maybe they know that they already did the legal thing and we're blurring the lines of like the legal thing and then kind of more of a celebration type thing. But if you don't intend to have any sort of other ceremony with your parents there, then I mean, it's just, at this point,
you gotta come out with it. Tell them, come out with it. Here's what you do. Because I wish I had insight. Maybe you're like, we just thought we would do it for tax purposes. And then we felt bad. And then we kind of never got around to it.
Yeah.
You start by saying, by thanking them for their support. Now, you wouldn't have to thank them if you were a heterosexual, born with your gender, stayed with your gender couple. You know, you wouldn't have to be like, thank you. And by the way, thank you for accepting him. But I do think that is part of this is that like, thanks for not being weird about this. And thanks for treating us like the people we are. What?
But that's why, I think that that could be the thing that hurts their feelings is that they think maybe they weren't looped in because you believe them to not be accepting. So I think it is good to acknowledge that, like, I know that you're not going to judge me.
I think you just say, I can't tell if you even feel bad about it or because I'm missing some puzzle pieces here. The longer you wait, the worse it's going to get. So just be like, take him to dinner and be like, we just want to talk to you. I can't tell if you know or not, but we actually got married like on paper 2 years ago. And then you would insert the reason you didn't tell them, which is unbeknownst to us here on this podcast. You'd be like, but it's just been really bothering me because you guys are so supportive and we love you so much. And I want to just move forward with us all being on the same page. But I can understand if we hurt your feelings and then they might say, but giving them the courtesy of the information. Because why would you keep that?
Wait, are you wearing a ring?
Yeah. Sometimes people do that stuff and they're not married, but, and the son-in-law thing, it's like, look, we both know you're together all the time. May as well. The only difference is a piece of paper. You're like, so I got it. I'd be like, so we wanted to take you to dinner as like a little like inclusive family celebration or something. They won't be mad, but I think they might be a little hurt that you didn't tell them. So just be prepared to let them be okay with that.
Right.
They're entitled to their feelings as well.
Right. They sound fine. So I'm sure
they sound fine.
I'm sure they'll be upset and then they'll get over it. And then you can celebrate your anniversary with them.
I mean, obviously I've never gone through anything like a transition like that or anything, but I think sometimes when we go through stuff in life, we make the mistake of thinking that those closest to us couldn't possibly wrap their minds around it. And it's like, at the end of the day, they love you.
Yeah.
So they're, and when you love someone, you sign up for the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sierra had an explosion in her pants. I still love her during the Super Bowl, but I still love her.
Was it from all those little pizzas?
It's from everything. She just eats so many oranges. And I think they ran through her.
explosion and lied about it. But I still love
lied her. About it? How do you figure it out? The smell?
I ripped her pants open and I was like, aha, a turd. You lied.
And she
you
was
lied.
Just like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
Deny it. She's like, no. Like, okay, well, everyone smells it.
Good for her.
Oh, nice try.
Nice try.
Nice try.
Okay, this email is not, it's not a follow-up, but it's just kind of an affirmation. And I think it's interesting because of the where it's coming from. So the email title is, been there, done that.
Uh-oh.
Eliza, Emily, et al. I've been preaching your sermon for years. Everyone needs therapy, whether you have an issue or not. Don't take crap off anyone. I'm a 67-year-old female married to a 71-year-old male for 31 years. Childless by choice, good years and bad years, but mostly good. We live in separate houses across the street from each other. We get along so much better with our own space. No one has the right to make others feel inadequate or less than. Cut them off and walk away, even if they are family. Why should they be able to disrupt everyone around them because they're, quote, special? Say no and mean it. I cut off my husband's family because they are all, well, yuck. For context, just a few days after we got married, I offered to cook Thanksgiving dinner. The input from them was no sugar, no wheat, no white bread, no salt, no red meat, watching cholesterol, etc. You can imagine. Yuck again. I made two complete meals, turkey and all the sides and roast beef with all the sides, special sugar-free desserts. They all arrived late. And my sister-in-law announced, we aren't eating because we're going to my sister's. Last time I ever cooked for them.
Oh my God.
In the words of Barney Fife, nip it. Nip it in the bud. Love the pod. Eliza's very smart and proved it by hiring Emily. I just love this like person who's been married for 31 years and is just like, yes.
That's the third person who's written in that's like, I live in a separate house from my husband and life is going great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. When people show you who they are, making Thanksgiving, going through the hassle of making a holiday for people. And then they arrive and they're like, we're not eating. You're like, well, someone's got to eat this shit.
Yeah.
Ugh. Good for you. Draw your boundaries and let them flail.
There's Barney Fife reference on the pod too.
Yeah. People might have to go Google Barney Fife or go ask your parents or your grandparents.
It's a good activity to bond with them. Say, Grandpa, tell me all about Barney Fife.
And I'll show you how Google works. It's no secret that fast fashion and the demand for fashion in general is helping to wreck our planet. Well, introducing Nuuly. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, and they have fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I gifted Nuuly to a friend whose daughter works in an office where you have to be presentable, and it's trendy. She gets to try out stuff. She always looks fresh at work. She always looks cute, and when she's done with it, which we usually are after wearing something for a while, she can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code ELIZA20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code ELIZA20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code ELIZA20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. I like investing in quality pieces and owning them forever versus buying and rebuying garbage and clothing made of plastic over and over. That's why I like Quince. They make owning luxury essentials easy because they have unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. Not everyone is a millionaire, but that shouldn't stop you from owning sustainable quality items that you wear over and over that always look great. Like a 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Pare it down. Make your life easier. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I went to Mexico City recently and I wore shorts the whole time. Not just any shorts. I got my shorts at Quince. I got bamboo jersey maternity bike shorts. Bamboo is sustainable. I can feel good about wearing it. And the price was pretty nice. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Eliza for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Eliza to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Eliza.
Hi, Eliza and Emily. I discovered Eliza's comedy a year ago. I was on a ski trip with a friend, and the weather and crowds were so awful that we just decided to stay in on day two and not ski. We watched Freezing Hot on Netflix and proceeded to binge watch all of your specials in one day. My face hurt from laughing. I found your podcast and listened to it on the 4-hour drive home, and the same friend and I met in Denver to catch your show at Ball Arena, so I guess I'm saying I'm kind of a fan.
Nice.
My question, I was just on a ski trip with that same friend and another girlfriend. When we checked into our Airbnb with 3 bathrooms, there's only 1 roll of toilet paper. I messaged the host to let him know, not expecting him to bring us some, but we all thought this is something he needs to fix before the next group comes. He messaged you back the next day apologizing and said he would be happy to reimburse me for TP if I bought some. Obviously, I wasn't going to ask him for $5 for the cost of the TP we bought. The next morning, he texted me and said that his condo was on the market and wondered if we would allow his realtor to show the place at 11:45. He offered me $50 if we would allow it. We would have done it for nothing as we would be leaving the condo to ski about that time anyway, but he offered and also said he needed to reimburse me for the TP too. I said, okay, $55, but just know your place looks lived in. I sent him my Venmo info and we tidied up the place so it looked as best as it could with 3 filthy girls staying there. The realtor showed up 15 minutes early, so we were rushing around to get out of their way. He never sent me the Venmo, and it is bugging the shit out of me. We thought maybe he was just making sure we hadn't trashed the place before he sent it, but we've been out of there for 24 hours. Part of me wants to resend the link to my Venmo with a WTF Brandon. I don't need $55, but he offered it, and I think it's shitty he didn't send it. What would you do? Thanks for the laughs, Natalie.
First of all, okay, so this isn't about what you should have done. This is about what you can do. It's so unacceptable that he would ask you to like be gone for a little bit and the realtor was there early. You have options. You can say to him, hi, here's the link again. It's been 24 hours. I'm just resending you this link. And if he doesn't pay, then you write a review. You write a review. That's what these things live and die by. And you can also contact Airbnb like and just be like, this host like did not stock this. And then I'm sure if you think back, you can think of other shitty things that he also didn't do. In addition, he asked us to clear out so he could show the place, offered to reimburse and never did. And they'll be like, well, that's between you guys. Leave that review. And you could also just leave it. And then he'll be like, hey, and you'd be like, great, send me the $55 and I'll take it down. No problem. But he's deliberately not paying you.
It's so maddening because like you said, like you don't need the $55. You're not out $55. You're out like 3 or whatever for toilet paper. But the fact that he offered that you even had to exchange all these texts with him to coordinate while you're on your vacation and then he didn't do it. Like that's the kind of thing that drives me, makes me so mad.
You can be like, I have the screen grabs. Like he'll probably write back under it. Like, hey, I did this and this and this. I don't know.
Oh,
so what?
I was like, can't you send a Venmo request, but you need his info. I wonder if based on his email or whatever, if you can figure out what his, or his phone number, if you look up his phone number on Venmo, can you just send him a request for $55 on Venmo?
I would contextualize and be like, hey, however you were communicating with him, be like, you said you would give us $55. We cleared out. In addition to clearing out, your realtor was there early. So we ended up cleaning up your Airbnb to make it nice for your realtor. I'm just trying to get this all squared away. You don't have to threaten him. And if he says anything other than, yep, here you go. I don't want to hear, no, I'm out. I'm doing something. It's Venmo. It's a button on your phone. Then you go ahead and just write that review. And in the review, you can say, here's what happened. I have the screen grabs. I would just hate for someone else to stay there. And he uses your vacation time as time to show his house.
Yeah.
And then you let that $55 go. You let Airbnb know what happened and you never look back at that account.
Yeah, a lot of people would be like, no, you can't show the place while I'm there. Absolutely not.
This is also you as a woman traveling, learning to set up your boundaries. Toilet paper wasn't there. Be like, hey, this is kind of a part of the experience. There's a lot of us here.
Experience.
It is. Like, I didn't do a hotel because there are certain amenities. Like, there's certain things that are agreed to. You know, you want me to clean up. You want me to pay this fee. You want me to do all these things. And you left us no toilet paper. It would be different if there was one bathroom and he was like, oh, here's one. There's 3 bathrooms. So to not stock it with a basic necessity of toilet paper is insane. Yeah. I could even forgive if there were just one roll in each. It would be cheap and I probably like wouldn't do my best to clean up. Send him the link again ASAP, especially now since it's been over 24 hours. You've probably already dealt with this. But there is no, okay, I'll get around to it. You're done.
No.
If it is not if he does not respond with that $55, you just write that review.
Yeah.
That's it. And then you gotta let it go.
Yeah.
But remember, in the future, no, I'm not fucking doing any of that.
Mm-mm.
Sorry. I paid for this time.
Dear Eliza, Emily, and all furry friends, my sister-in-law, now 30, has been with her significant other, male, 30, for 6 years. 2 years ago, they were engaged and have been planning their wedding that is coming up in the next few months. Her father passed from COVID a few months after she became engaged. And since then, my husband has taken on a paternal role in her life, and I've also become much closer with her. Fast forward to this year. My sister-in-law asked me to go wedding dress shopping with her, which I quickly agreed to. And after careful consideration, my husband decided that he would like to gift his sister her wedding dress as our wedding gift for her special day. We went shopping.
My husband?
So our question asker's husband, I think this
decided to buy the dress for her. For the fatherless sister.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Now, we went shopping and picked out a lovely dress. It had to be off the rack since the wedding was only a few months away. And I purchased it on behalf of my husband and I. My sister-in-law was touched by the gesture. 2 weeks later, we get a phone call from my sister-in-law that she is calling off their wedding. She's not in love with her fiance and does not want to marry him. She says that she should never have said yes when he proposed originally. I'm proud of her that she came to this conclusion before the ceremony is making the decision that is right for her. But my question is, should she be keeping the wedding dress that was a gift? She has made no mention of trying to sell it or refunding any of the money we paid towards it. In my mind, this was a wedding gift for a wedding she's no longer having. So it seems gifts should be returned. I wish she had never let us buy it for her in the first place if she were unsure of her pending marriage. Looking forward to your take, S.
I say she has to return it. I think you need to bring it up. Maybe it wasn't on her mind. Maybe she was going to get around to it. You ask, be like, hey, can we return it? If you can.
I would
say. Because it wasn't worn. There's no reason to keep this.
Or deal with selling it. But I would say if you phrase it as like, hey, when can we pick up the dress? Rather than asking like, hey, were you planning on doing it? Like, no. Hey,
what
when
were you
can
planning
we pick
on doing?
Up?
Was she planning on selling it? You know, first of all, call the store, see if you can get that refund. It's unworn. Hopefully the tags are still on. You know, hopefully she's not planning like something financial with it. But it's probably a lot of money, unless it was like a $300 dress. I mean, I don't know, maybe you don't have a ton of money. But it's really tacky of her after. I mean, it's funny. It's like, okay, so your dad's gone, so now you're just going to act like a spoiled little girl. You definitely, it will eat at you. It will like wreck the relationship with this woman if you do not ask for it back. And she might surprise you. She might be like, oh my God, of course. Or she'll be like, yeah, come get it. But return that dress. And just, you gotta say something. You're afraid of like hurting her feelings or making it weird. She's already made it weird.
Well, okay. Here's the other thing. Like, this was 2 weeks. They bought the dress. And then 2 weeks later, she's like, I'm not in love with him. Like, I shouldn't have said yes. Like, there was no way that when she was trying on dresses, she wasn't already having that feeling. So I understand the pressure of just thinking like you need to go ahead with it. I get it. But if I was in your shoes, I would be a little annoyed she let me put my credit card down when she, at least in some part of her knew she wouldn't go forward.
She has a chance to make it up right now. If she's like, oh my God, I'll drop it off. I'll return it for you. Mm-hmm. You might need the credit card to return it, but you need to speak up for yourself. She definitely should give it back.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Hi, Liza. I'm a huge fan of your comedic work. My boyfriend and I bond so much with you as he listens to Ask Eliza and introduced me. I've followed you since your Netflix specials. Also, we're listening to your podcast as we deep clean our first apartment together. Thank you for being the voice and representing millennials such as ourselves. It does not have to be anonymous. Well, this person's name is Riza. Here's my question. Should I leave my job based on the people I work with?
Next question.
I've been working at my position for a year with a hybrid schedule, and it's my first time being a medical biller. A medial biller. It's medical. For a while.
Are you having a slow stroke?
Partially,
how do you spell it? Is there a C in the word?
No, there isn't.
Okay.
For a while, it was only me and my supervisor in our department. We were working well together. Then my supervisor hired another great biller, and I was excited to become close to another coworker. However, the first 2 months of my coworker going through probation, we would have group meetings and my boss would isolate me out and confuse me on my progress. When we're together alone, my boss would praise my work, but when we're in office or in group meetings, she would point out how I could do better or question my work. Also, now I realize my current coworker feels as though she needs to compete with me, which is the total opposite of what I thought we were. Now I get anxiety having group meetings, and when I'm in the office, I write my feelings out in a journal on the side to cope. I've tried warning my supervisor before. I was so upset, I wrote an email explaining my feelings, including isolating me out in group meetings and not answering my questions or answering my questions in an insufficient manner so I know which direction to go. She and I were awkwardly treading for 2 weeks, but then as I predicted, she slipped and broke 4 out of 7 rules we were trying to establish for staying professional. I know I am still learning, but I also know she expects me to read her mind and should know what to do at this point when she's only been giving me little shortcuts and half answering my questions. Even in office, she would still redirect me when she doesn't feel like looking at my cases. Then weeks later, question me why something isn't done. I've spoken to other people who work in this field and explained to me not all companies are like this. What's my best option? This isn't a coworker problem. This is a manager problem.
Yeah, I think it's really shitty and weird and manipulative to praise you in private, but publicly you're shitty. That's abusive. I don't mean to be dramatic about it, but that's like when we're together, he's really sweet. When we're alone, he's really sweet. I don't know why he's being a dick. She's shown you who she is. I would say you walk in and you should be like, I've tried to address this before. Here are the mistakes that have been made. You don't want to be setting rules for your boss that she has to tiptoe around because she's going to be like, well, I think you make it difficult. She makes you feel like shit. You shouldn't be fucking journaling your feelings at work, especially in a field that like infomercials advertise online degrees for. Meaning like this is a job that you can get in so many places. This is a job that people, obviously a lot of people do it because everybody has to deal with medicine. Medical billing is not like a precise field that you need a specialized degree in. And I say that meaning like you can go somewhere else. Everybody needs a nurse. Everybody needs a medical biller. Everybody needs healthcare workers. You're going to spend your life unhappy because this person's a fucking lunatic pitting you against a coworker, unsure where you stand in medical billing?
Yeah.
Walk to the building next door and get a different job in the same field. It's not like you're like, I only restore Michelangelo's art and my boss is a lunatic. And it's like, okay, well, you have to live in Italy. You're done.
Yeah.
That's insane.
This is like textbook bad. We had to do a thing at my work. We had to take this like course called Radical Candor, which is like how to address each other professionally, but also be honest and not waste people's time. And literally one of the first things is, criticize in private, praise in public.
Yeah, your boss is awful. And do you really want to look back at your life and you were miserable at work getting like service because you had a weird boss? Like, what are you saying?
Yeah, your this boss is...
And you'll leave and you'll be like, I can't believe I spent so much time. Emily and I, in a past podcast, were talking about, what was it, sunk cost? What was the other word
you used? Sunk cost fallacy.
Sunk cost fallacy. Like, okay, you learned your lesson. Get out of there. Now you know the signs. You're gonna spend the next several years there hoping this woman learns how to be a boss. Get out of there. What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? Goodbye. And I promise you'll leave and you'll never think about it again.
No. Okay. But this is a manager problem.
Now that I've made you feel bad about your chosen profession, I'm like, you can do it anywhere, but you can. Get out of there.
Hi, Liza, Emily, and the whole crew. I've been listening to your podcast from the start, and I'm such a huge fan. You guys got me through COVID. I need some advice. I am a 24-year-old software engineer, and my first longer-term relationship just hit 1 year. My boyfriend, 26, is very independent and likes to spend more time alone or with his friends. Early in our relationship, we were seeing each other. Early in our relationship, we were seeing each other once a week until I broke down in tears and said I needed more time together, which he agreed to. We now see each other about twice a week, sometimes with friends, though, so not necessarily one-on-one. My problem, I feel like I always want to spend more time together than he does. When we're together, I feel so in love, but when we're apart, I really miss him. Doesn't seem like he feels the same way since he's okay on much less time together than me. Is this a compatibility issue? Do we break up? Help. Best wishes, Anonymous.
Yep. Not the guy for you. Sorry. You should miss him. And of course, it's always good to have the opportunity to miss someone, but pining for a boyfriend that lives in the same city when you both have normal jobs, like there's no reason that he shouldn't want to be seeing you all the time. You are at that age where it's like, I'm still figuring it out, but you haven't had a chance. The fact that one out of the two times is with friends, he's either not into you, doesn't know how to be in a relationship. Those are the only two answers. Because you've also made it clear to him. It's not like you're like holding back.
Right.
It shouldn't feel bad. It should always, always be easy and feel good. And what will happen is you'll break up with him and you'll meet a guy who does want to spend more time with you. It doesn't have to be every day, but it should just be easy. Like, yeah, this is my new best friend and we do a lot of stuff together. That level of independence at the beginning of a relationship is a red flag. That young is a red flag. As you get older, it's required that you're like, I love being independent, sassy business mama. I never need to see my man. My husband and I live in separate houses. But at 24 and 26, like you should be like super horny, doing everything together, having the best time. And by the way, if it worked for both of you, then that's great. But this doesn't work for you.
Right. He's not necessarily a bad person, but it is an incompatibility.
No. Yeah, that's it. And I don't want to hear like he's shy, he doesn't mind spending time alone, because he's not. I bet you it's not. If he is alone, then that's still incompatibility, but I bet you he's with his friends.
Yeah.
Or he's just not all in. Either way, none of this is working for you.
Yeah. Hi, Eliza. Emily, dogs, cats, and babies. 28-year-old, female, teacher. First time writing in, but I've been a fan of the podcast since it began. I have a question that starts off pretty dark. I can assure you, you've never heard it before. Still, I can understand if you'd rather keep things light on the podcast. Nope, we're doing it. But I do also love people going, you haven't heard this one before, because I did ask for things we haven't heard before. So keep up the good work.
I'm currently upside down.
Some background. I live in a small city on a beautiful farm that shares land with two other homes. My neighbor, who was also my landlord, and I were pretty close in terms of keeping a garden together, watching dogs when the other was away, etc. A month ago, he was brutally murdered. Which was,
oh my God,
extremely unexpected given the safety and security of the property. The murder was a crime of passion, and the person who did it is in custody. Despite being physically safe, I no longer feel mentally my best at home, which has always been a place of so much joy and serenity for me. I'm in therapy and working through the feelings of discomfort. I know I want to move out, but my city, although small, is ridiculously expensive and I'm not in a place where I want roommates. I kind of hit the lottery with the home I'm currently in. That is, until now, of course. My question. I've been with my boyfriend for 2 years and I'm in a very happy relationship. I truly feel this is the person I'm going to marry. We've talked about living together. He's been ready for a while, but I've been pretty adamant that I wanted to have my own space for at least another year, simply because I love it, and I've had a rough experience of living with a partner before. My boyfriend is looking into buying a home in a city about 2 hours from where we live. His family lives there, and the housing is far more affordable. I've gone house hunting with him, and I get really excited about the idea of it all. I'm not sure if I'm excited because it would mean leaving such a weird and dark circumstance behind, or if I'm genuinely excited about moving to a new city. I am a teacher at a school that I love. I love the city I'm in, but I know that I will never be able to afford a home on my own in this place because of how expensive it is. Teachers really deserve better pay. I also know that I historically have no problem finding jobs, making friends, etc. So, Eliza and Emily, do you think it's a horrible idea to move to a new city with my awesome partner, even though it's sort of rushing the timeline that I had wanted? Me leaving a lot behind, but it could also be an exciting start to a future I've always envisioned for myself. I don't know. Any thoughts would be much appreciated. Thank you for all the great advice, laughs, and everything. This podcast has been especially helpful during this time.
Let me ask you a question. What are the odds of this person murdering both of you? Because I think that's the root
of
this.
Well, so here's the thing. That intellectually, you know, it's not going to happen to you. It was a crime of passion. It wasn't even just like a random person doing robbery. It was related to that man. But I understand
it happened next door.
Every time you're there, you look next door, you think about this man that you tended a garden with, and you think about that. I do.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be rational. It's not rational.
Emily actually fully understands.
I actually do. That did happen at my apartment. Yeah. So
and
yeah.
It never occurred to you to leave. You're like, I still like it here.
I couldn't afford it.
Okay,
I will say it did hit me occasionally. I would just suddenly get really scared or upset or like worried or like, well, how did I not see the signs? And I was really surprised that it did because it felt so removed from me. I talked to this man all the time, but that tried to murder his wife and then shot himself, but I didn't know him. You were close with your neighbor. So yeah.
Somebody you tough. Love died. Somebody you cared for died and they died right next door to you. The truth is crazy things are happening in and around and all around you at all times in a city. But this one hit home because this was your friend. So your safe space is not so safe.
Right.
Is it an option? And you don't want to move in with someone just because you're feeling scared, because then you're like putting a Band-Aid over something that you psychologically do want to deal with. But you also don't want to let this thing that really didn't have anything to do with you, but is affecting you, inhibit the plans you have for the rest of your life. So I guess my question is, can he look for a house in this city that you love living in? And then you guys could afford to live there? Can he move in with you into this place that you love? Maybe it'll help you feel a little bit safer to have someone. And then you'll see how you feel. Maybe he's moving for like 6 weeks or something, like just for something. Cause it might make you feel better because you do live alone. I know that I definitely feel safer when Noah's in the house.
Right. Was it truly, was the plan literally in a year you were going to move 2 hours away to where his family is from? Was that the plan that was, you wanted to stay here for one more year and then you were going to move and you're just moving up that timeline? In which case, that seems fine because you were going to leave your job that you like anyway. Yeah. You were going to leave the town that you like anyway. You're just a weird circumstances. You're moving it up a little. Now, if that was never on the table, I think that's when you take into consideration, well, what if he lived with me? What, if, you know, all those other options.
Or was the year just like a nice round number to tell yourself? You're like, I only need one more year. A year is a very long time. Was that just like an easy thing to say? Like, you just give me one. Oh gosh, I need to be at this Apple Blossom Festival one more time.
Yeah.
What's really going on here? And I also want to say, you know, when you have your first car and you get rid of it, it's like emotional. At least it was for me. And you're like, oh my God, I'm going to remember it forever. And then you get the new car and you're like, I'm sorry, what was the last make and model of that car? When you move houses, you're like, oh my God, this house. And then you get in the new house, you're like, what house? I think we place, you know, these things are ephemeral, no matter how long we participated in them previously. And we place a lot of emphasis on these emotional things and these places and people and stuff like that. If anything, it sounds like you need a fresh start or at least a fresh perspective.
Yeah.
So either let him move in with you because you also want to see if you guys are compatible together. But I don't know that you want to move 2 hours away.
If you did, could you rent out your house? I wouldn't sell your house if you don't have to.
It just seems like I don't really know what the next step is. And you're like, and the plan was in one perfectly round year, we were going to move 2 hours away to a city I'm not as in love with, where he's getting a house. What do you want?
Yeah.
You want to stay where you are? Would you like it if you guys could afford a house in that city? Then that's what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. By the way, his family being 2 hours away is not that far. You don't have kids. You don't need, and you could move. You could move in 5 years. If you get married and you have kids, you want to be close to the family. But I feel like it's a lot of, like, you're missing steps. You're like, should I give up the house that I love so much because I feel bad? There's no one else in it. Should I move far away? Should I just move far away immediately? Should I stay here? Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
If you really love that city, you mentioned it a couple times, then don't let this external factor, that's awful that your friend was murdered, but that's going to dictate, you don't want that to dictate you jumping to conclusions for choices that are deeply impactful. Mm-hmm. So take a breath, take a beat. My vote is have him move in with you for a little bit or try to find something in your city.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad to feel like you have to leave your city. You know, that's like breaking up with someone. You're like, I have to leave all of Manhattan. Like, just move a block over. Totally different vibe. Still so much murder, but yeah.
Hello, love to all. I need your help. My best friend and I live about 4 hours away from each other, but have a great rhythm of going back and forth to visit several times a year. My problem is that my best friend is very overweight and has broken numerous pieces of my furniture. Not exactly like, quote, sitting on it and she falls, the floor breaks, where we could address it in the moment or make light of it and follow up later. There will be a small creak on a dining room chair, a screw falls out, a creak on the sofa. After they leave and I'm cleaning up, I notice the support bar of the chair is broken and the next person who sits on it breaks it fully. The sofa recliner won't kick out anymore. The lumbar bar is sunken in. The mattress is sagged. The furniture isn't super cheap, that it's just easy to replace, but isn't the most expensive, but definitely shouldn't be experiencing these things with normal wear and tear. The weight is over the manufacturer limit. I've tried to submit for manufacturer replacement and for various reasons haven't been able to get successful replacements. How would I approach this topic with her, or do I avoid it entirely? Do I purchase specific furniture and ask for it to be her special spot when she comes? Eat the cost of replacing items to not make her feel bad? Please help. I love her, but I feel sad when the things I love in my house break, even though it's not her fault. Thank you for your wisdom. This is the hardest question we've ever had.
Here's the thing. Okay. This comes down to love for your friends. And she will be embarrassed to know that, and she will be sad. This isn't about vilifying overweight people. If you're saying she's over the weight limit for like a Barca lounger, this is not a genetic condition.
I will say some of those loungers, the limit's like 200 pounds. Like a big dude would.
All right. I'll allow that to be kept in the podcast. Okay. Either you're buying doll furniture or your friend is so morbidly obese. And maybe Emily's right. Maybe it is just like a regular chair and you can't be over 200.
Mid-range. Okay. Yeah.
Well, in that case, she shouldn't be super embarrassed about it. You know, if she's just like a big girl, whatever. The issue is not that. The issue is not whether she can help it or not. The issue, even though I said it was, the issue is she is ruining the things in your house. And in the name of friendship, you are paying for these things and replacing whole pieces of furniture to spare her feelings. From the kindest, sweetest, I'm taking you out for hopefully a low carb muffin and a coffee. I just want to tell you that these are the things that are happening, and I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want money. We have to figure out somewhere for you to sit.
This is like the worst question I've ever heard, because I cannot imagine because imagine you're that person. If I'm that person, I would never, ever be able to sit on anything in front of my friend again. Every time I sat, I'd be like, oh no, what's happening? Is it going to happen? I would just, okay.
They know it's creaking. They know it's breaking. They have broken furniture before. There's no way this person just has delicate furniture and these like art pieces.
Here's what I would do, okay? My coward's way out. I would never have us hang out at my house again. We'd always go to a restaurant or a movie theater.
No, because then you're going to, first of all, you definitely can't fit in a movie theater. And second of all, you're going to be writing back to us in a year like, I've been making up excuses and they keep asking why we can't just hang at my house. And then it's going to be worse because you hit it. I love the special spot idea. You could even make them a special spot. And when they come over.
If I went to someone's house and they were like, this is your special spot, this is where you sit, I would be scared and confused.
Really? Really? If they were like, you're breaking all my furniture, so I went and I bought you a chair that has a weight limit.
Okay, I thought you were saying don't tell them, just make a special spot and be like, hey, why don't you sit over here?
No, make it their special spot. Be like, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. I love you and I love having you over, so I got you this beanbag. This like high pressure beanbag. You know, you shouldn't, you're subsidizing now. You're paying for a lot of furniture. This isn't like they brought a dog that peed and it was an accident and the dog didn't do it again. Like, how much furniture are you supposed to buy? The shitty thing would be if you were like, hey, fatty, you owe me $600.
Could we let one more piece of furniture break? Because the next time you hear a creak, instead of finding out it's broken later, be like, what was that? and then go be like, oh my God, was that what's happening? Oh no, I think this is broken now, so that it's in the moment. Because you're saying if this person sat down and the chair just gave out and all the legs went asunder, like you could then go, hey, this is a problem, right? Next time you hear a creak, that's a problem. You need to be like, it sounds like my chair just broke. Do you mind? Can I take a look? Oh yeah, well, my chair's broken.
It sounds like it's not breaking. It sounds like it's not breaking when they're on it. You're saying like it's creaking and then the next person who sits in it, it breaks.
Well, because I think it just is like, and then then when you sit down, there's like more force. So this person now is sitting on a half-busted chair. They get up. It sort of is half-busted. And the next person, it cracks all the way.
All you can do is say it in the kindest way, kindest, loving. Like, you're like, I'm not here to change you or anything about, I just need you to know that like, I made this special spot and we can hang out there.
Could you also, okay, what's happening at your friend's house? Like, is this not happening on her furniture?
It does happen. So, it happens to this person every time they go out. I promise you this person is used to it.
Like, is there a way to involve the friend? Like, look, I want to get you, I can't think of a nice way to do it, but it's like, do you have any recommendations for furniture I should buy for you when you come over? Like, there's just no, I can't think of it. Even coming from the highest light, I can't think of a way to do it that isn't. Unless you guys are like really close and she's like, oh my God, of course, I'm so sorry. Which
you need to come to her in a very sweet way and just tell her the truth. Be like, it's happened a couple times. I feel so bad saying this to you. It really is in the delivery.
Yeah.
I feel bad because the last thing I ever want is to hurt you or have you feel embarrassed. But the last few times you've come over, you sat on furniture. And it will give out. And I've replaced it a few times because I didn't want to embarrass you. And this isn't about you not coming over. I've solved the problem and I got you this chair and we can hang out there. You know, she knows. She knows it creaks. She knows she's overweight and she knows that she's broken chairs before. Just out and about. So this will not be news. And hopefully she will appreciate that you financially took care of this, that you were kind, and that you bought another piece of furniture. If she can't hear that, then this person's shitty. But you are like tap dancing around this, not wanting to hurt her feelings about something that she definitely already knows. And the fact that you're going to deliver that news with kindness is probably a kindness that she never really received. So hopefully she'll appreciate it.
Do you think this is something that should be delivered like in person the next time she comes over, like, hey, this is your new chair? Should it be like, heads up, I've bought a new piece of furniture? So that, I don't know. If I was being told this, I think it's probably kinder on the part of the person to tell you to your face. I wouldn't want to look someone in the eye as they said that to me, to be honest.
Well, but it's also, you don't want to buy it. And then she's like, that's really fucked up that you said that. I've never broken anything. And then you're like, well, I just bought this like weight resistant chair and now I have to return it. Maybe meet up somewhere else. But I do think, you just got to suck it up and say it to her face so that she can see the kindness in your eyes, which is not really permeating off of this advice that I'm giving because it sounds kind of like vehement. But like, if you put it in a text, you put it in an email, like she can infer whatever she wants and that may not be good. So, but I think when people are really overweight, one thing that they have not experienced in life is people being kind to them and people extending a courtesy, and you're trying to do those things. And it probably will bite you in the ass because we live in a society where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. But at the very least, you're going to save a lot of money if she goes out of your life because you don't keep going back to Ashley Furniture.
Right. You're coming from a place of making an accommodation and not just asking
not just
her
eating
to
this
change.
Cost. Yeah. And hopefully she has a sense of humor about it, but that was a tough one. That was a real tough one. Oof. Need a Gatorade.
I know that was tougher than the murder one that they were like, this is heavy. You might not want to read this. And I'm like, no, this is easy. Stay in your house. And this, I'm like, oh no.
Might have been a little bit too much in comic mode at the top, but okay. Top of the cop.
It's the top of the cop. We're doing it right every day. You just take a bite. Top of the cop.
My bottom of the cup is when you're buying something online, not from Amazon, because you're trying to not support Amazon, and other places have shipping, and the shipping feels entirely made up. You're like, oh, it's $12.06 to mail me a hat? No, it's not. You just decided that. I know that's not true. Like, it's one thing if it's like, oh, it's $3.99, you know? But when you get those other numbers, anything over $5, oh, it's $7.35. It's not. I guarantee you it's not. You're not paying that much to ship me this. I'm furious.
I feel like we're so used to homogeny when it comes to commerce like that. Like Amazon has made it like it's all free. No problem. Just keep sucking on the teat of this reptile. I feel a similar anger when Amazon calls. Like you'll get like a missed call and it's like, why you drop off packages all the, why are you fucking calling me? And they leave it anyway. Like some people call, some don't, some ring the doorbell. Just leave it. Leave me alone. Just take my money and wreck the planet.
Fan bottom. Hi, crew. Much love to the pod. Saw Eliza in Paris in December. It was super awesome. I deeply regret not doing the meet and greet.
Yeah, it was a really good show. Merci.
My bottom. I am recovering from a bad flu, no energy, a fever, and a soul-crushing cough. My boyfriend is out of town for a few days visiting old friends. I was supposed to drive up there with our dog yesterday, but couldn't muster up the energy. My dog also was sick with diarrhea yesterday.
Jesus.
And tonight, so I had to walk him a lot in the cold, being sick myself, and no one to take care of me and bring me soup, lol. I felt very sorry for myself, but also, this is a very good bottom of the cob, walking your sick dog and worrying because he is 14 years old, whilst being sick and lonely myself. Love the pod forever. All my best. Okay, now, Ine from Belgium. I-N-E. Ein? Did I give it too much with Ine?
It could be anything. Ine! Yeah, when you're sick and you got to walk your dog in the rain, it's the worst. Yeah. Lonely when you're sick is the worst for sure. My bottom of the cob is I have a very short memory when it comes to remembering how hard things were. Like we were thinking of going to Florida to visit my parents for Thanksgiving. And I keep forgetting that we'll have another baby. And I'm like, maybe we'll go through Dallas and visit my dad on the way, spend a night there, then go. Noah's like, it's really hard traveling with kids. I'm like, well, why don't you take one? I'll take the other. We'll just jet down there. Like in my mind, it's so easy. And then in practice, he's like, you forget like all the European airports we were in where you were like screaming that we're never doing this again. But that means I'm an optimist. I hope for the best. And the more you do it, the easier it gets in a weird way.
That's your
my bottom of the cob is that I logistically I'm like it should be great, we'll just fly there on with our little wings
until it happens again ticket.
Top of the cob, my top of the cob is when I was in Paris. It's interesting that girl said that. I was walking by a window and I saw these dope shoes that in the moment I was like, those are fucking sick, and I went in and I bought them, and the brand is Autry, and I think it's an American brand, I think that like probably was big at some point, or it just is a brand, but I'd never heard of it before, but I knew the shoes were sick, and I get a lot of compliments on them. And it is such a good feeling when you like know something is dope and you get it, and people all the time are like, what is that? You know, to break away from the monotony of like the same Amazon jackets, the same trends, the same things you see online. I'm like, I found my own thing, and I get to say I got them in Paris, and I knew they were cool, and I got them.
I knew they were cool.
I know, and it just reaffirms. You're like, yeah, I know what I'm fucking doing.
Yeah.
I know dope shit when I see them. Like those Givenchy boots I saw in the window. I was like, I'm going to get those.
Yeah.
I don't buy a lot of stuff, but when I do, I shoot to kill. Shoot to thrill. Makes me feel cool.
Okay. You have great taste.
Yeah.
Fan top. Slow mornings where you can sip on coffee at home and do whatever you want.
Ooh.
That's just solid.
But then it's like 1 o'clock and you're like, I'm a piece of shit. I got to stop looking at my phone. What's your top?
My top is cat related, but it's any cat, not just my cat, any cat. When you're petting a cat, it kind of applies to dogs, but cats are just harder to win over. So it's like when you start petting them in the spot where they really start rubbing up against you, like, yeah, I like that. That's a good pet. Like, because cats are so standoffish.
Yeah.
So when you really get in there, like Isles is very much not that friendly. I mean, she is, but so then when I get in there and I start rubbing her belly and she starts hard breathing because she kind of has asthma and just like pressing into my hand. I'm like, yeah, I'm petting you. You love this. I don't, as I'm saying this, I'm scared about how it sounds.
Well, just all the markings of an abusive relationship. You're like, she's kind of a piece of shit. But every once in a while, if I do a favor for her that she really likes, she's actually nice to me.
I just like, specifically with cats, because like, they're not that friendly. If you go to someone else's house, you're not going to expect to be able to touch their cat. You know?
I always expect to touch an animal. I love rubbing Tianfu's belly. And then when I pull my hand away, she rubs her nose and she's like, more please.
Yes. When you pull your hand away and the little hand comes out for your hand.
Comes back. And then you're like, okay, I can't live here doing this. Right. So go to sleep.
I have things. Yeah.
All right. Just remember, folks, although it is the end of the episode, remember the best place to touch a cat.
Not his butthole.
Is on. That's what I'm saying. Not his penis. Okay.
Give me pizza. P-I-Z-Z-A. I want pizza. P-I-Z-Z-A.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.